This is a podcast from ABC Local Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. On ABC Local Radio, you're with Rod Quinn. We're talking about the weather this morning. As I mentioned before, everyone talks about it, they say, but nobody does anything about it. But how long have we known how the weather is going to be? Why is weather forecasting so important? And how is it changing? Are we forecasting the weather any better now than we were, say, 10 years ago? Martin Babakian is a meteorologist at the University of Newcastle. Martin, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Rod.
What's the difference? Let's start with a forecast and a prediction. People say, oh, he's predicting the weather. But is it the case that we, in fact, forecast the weather rather than predict the weather?
We forecast the weather rather than predict the weather. The forecasting is becoming the important tool for weather forecasting here because we're using computer models, which are accurate, and then comparing to what we knew in the past, what I used to teach the subject, the most important part for weather forecasting in Australia was identifying the air mass, which is controlling your region. That air mass got special quality of the weather, and for generations, we knew exactly when dry continental air mass moves towards land, especially in the farming industry, anywhere, humidity drops to below 10, 20%, and dew point temperature drops to zero, and evaporation becomes extremes, and fire becomes dangerous, and it affects the agriculture. When the air mass changes from polar maritime air mass with moisture content, cold air mass moving to the Australian continent, a totally different, completely. Because we are such a continent, these air masses, once they move over the region, within two or three days' time, they tend to change the property of the air mass, becomes a part of the air mass of the region because of the temperature, heat, and moisture content tend to mix with the air mass, and that air mass becomes a regional air mass. And that 20 to 50 years ago, air mass was commonly defined and recorded on a daily basis. Today, doesn't exist.
Oh, okay. So when did weather forecasting, as we know it, actually begin? When did daily forecasts start appearing, say, in newspapers?
At 1900s, close to 1900, that era, when we start looking at analyzing the weather forecasting, especially for the shipping industry. And World War One was very important at that time because they were using weather forecasts for missions. And then it was reported for military and Air Force operations at that time.
Wasn't it the case that there was a hurricane in, I think, off the south coast of the United States that also helped develop, because of the damage done by that, they started developing more sophisticated weather forecasting?
Yes, but the point, it doesn't matter how much we try to develop a sophisticated weather forecasting, it was how much information we could gather from any district, at what time, how often. And that was becoming very important. Immediately, from 1900, we start putting observations around the world.
Right.
And these observations were giving us temperature, dew point. Not humidity, temperature, dew point played a very important part of the weather forecasting. If there's a difference between temperature and dew point, 10 degrees, we know conditions are becoming drier and there's no chance of rain, whatever it is. And whenever temperature dew point becomes closer, we know the cloud base is going to be lower, we're going to get some rain. This was becoming important. Later on, the most important thing in weather forecasting was when you start introducing the launching balloons and then recording the air mass temperature and air mass quality with surface up to the stratosphere. That becomes the most important things between humidity and dry bulb temperature. We start coming up with indexes. They develop index, what sort of wet air mass is going to happen, what sort of storm is going to develop, where it's going to move, what intensity, and we start modifying that even today at university. We're still doing research on that subject.
All right, let's go back a bit then, before 100 years ago, because weather statistics had been kept really for centuries before that. How accurate were they? That was not a forecast, I suppose. That was recording what had happened rather than what would happen.
That's exactly. Weather statistics, the most important thing. I rely on weather statistics in Australia big way. And then I was given weather data from Barfield family from Armidale. And then this astronomer was getting information from 1890 to 1922. And I was looking at the data. When I was looking at that data, looking at the monsoon patterns, monsoon season, how the monsoon season was affecting Australia, it played the most important part saying exactly where's the weak monsoon, where's the strong monsoon, and how that's going to be related to the El Nino patterns. It plays the most important part for us.
Okay. How far back can we go in finding out what weather was like? How do we know what weather was like, say, 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago?
I think it's impossible, honestly. Weather changes rapidly. It changes from one extreme to another extreme. And then there's variations of the weather pattern depends on ocean temperatures, ocean currents. Ocean's got nearly 100 years memory, and land has got only 28 days memory. Mm. When you start comparing ocean with land, how the weather's interacting is becoming very difficult.
But say even from 500 or 600 years ago, when people were keeping detailed notes or diaries, does that tell us anything? That might tell us how hot it was. We can tell by the clothes that people wore. We can tell by the way they built their buildings. That told us about weather, didn't it, and climate?
That's for sure. So important. That's the most important element, because what's happening now, when they start looking at those elements, what buildings were built, what structure they've done, and everything else. And now we're still looking exactly where we're going to go from here. But when we start analyzing the weather at that era, well, looking at the drought situation.
Yep.
We never knew anything about drought till after 1900 in Australia. We didn't know anything about drought. We didn't know anything about how temperatures vary, how pressure varies, how trade winds change.
Hang on, can I ask about that? What happened in the 19th century then, when people went through drought? You're saying that we didn't know what we were doing, that we didn't take detailed notes or statistics about the weather?
Farmers took statistics. They knew about drought, they knew what was going on, but they didn't understand what's causing it, how long it's going to last, what's going to affect the farming industry. I mean, that's the reason I could call it our farming and community. They were very resilient. But all these conditions, they still persisted, and they still did the right thing. And they knew exactly, because one thing only, we are so fortunate. All conditions were drought. We had aquifers in Australia. The groundwater helped us out completely to survive.
Okay, wow. So it was sheer luck, really, in a way.
Sheer luck, completely. The 64% of the continent is controlled by aquifer. We're the biggest continent, planet Earth. We've got groundwater. That's the reason the farmers are protesting against the mining industry in a certain region, because it's a farming land. They don't like to destroy the farming land, and you can see the depth of the aquifers is affecting their future. And that's the reason they realized that was they depended on it, and they will still depend on it for generations to come.
So when we go back thousands and thousands of years, tens of thousands, back to ice ages, we can work out something about climate. We can't work out things about day-to-day weather. Is that right?
Exactly. Spot on. You will never be able to say what sort of weather it's going to be at that time, that era, because the fluctuations were different. The ice age was different, and then the atmospheric circulations were different at that time, and then ocean temperatures were different, and, of course, population increased, billions of people on planet Earth. And then CO2 is increased, and then the ocean temperatures are rising. The whole thing is changing completely. The whole weather pattern is completely different than what we think about what was in the past. When I was looking at 1900, our data, because Australian data started there, and looking at it, I was absolutely surprised, amazed exactly how many tropical cyclones were forming over Australia at certain season. What season would we have the most strongest tropical cyclone hit us, and why? And then we were looking at all these things. All these things were affecting us. Even we were looking at heat wave situation in Australia. Why some part of Australia was getting extreme temperatures and the other part were not, and so on. We start realizing all these things are helping us because global circulation is changing. When you look at Earth from the surface of this Earth, when you look in the upper atmosphere, there's a wave, 8 waves around the world are virtually rotating clockwise around the world. If you are in the center axis of the upper trough, your weather completely changes. When you're in the upper reach, the weather changes. These are the upper atmosphere circulation, how controlled weather. Then those upper circulations controls the low-level circulation. Then we know the air is going to burst from South Pole towards the Australia as a result of one reason. The temperatures rising over the equator, the air is rising in the upper atmosphere, is building a pressure value in the upper atmosphere, and then in the South Pole, the air is sinking down because it's so cold, it's is producing low pressure, higher pressure down at low levels. There's certain pressure threshold between upper atmosphere and lower atmosphere. Once it reaches threshold, burst. The air goes straight to the equator. From the equator, upper atmosphere, warm air goes to the polar region, and that becomes circulation for Australia.